Hi, I'm Russell Evans. Welcome to Planet Shakers Church. I'm going to be speaking on spirit-minded people. I believe as you walk in the Spirit, you live in the favor and blessing of God. Why don't you open up your heart and receive what God has to say today?
Romans chapter 8, it says this. There is therefore, you know why therefore is in the Bible? Because it's there for something. There is, it's a weak joke, whoop, bam. There is therefore no, everyone say no, condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Everyone say in Christ Jesus. I love that scripture. There is therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's such a cool thing. See, the enemy comes to condemn you, but Jesus comes to release you. We might get convicted of things at time, but never condemned. God is never a condemner. He's always somebody who wants us to live in the overflow, in the spirit of what God has for you. But the key is in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God did by sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh on the account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh that the righteousness requirement of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, let me just give you a quick summary of that. The law we could never fulfill. So God says, I'm going to send my Son who would become flesh and fulfill the law and defeat sin, defeat death, and defeat hell, and give us a life of victory. And so it's in Christ Jesus that the law has been defeated and fulfilled, or has been fulfilled, and now we can live in the Spirit. So it's not in what we do that makes us right with God, it's in what He has done that makes us right with God. Did you get that, right? And it says, for those who live according to the flesh, set their minds, everyone say, set their minds, on things of the flesh. But those who are live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit, to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Everyone say life and peace. But the carnal mind is at enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Amazing point right there. But you, I love this, but you, turn to your neighbor and say, that means you. If they don't know Jesus, say that's soon to be you, because we'll give you an opportunity at the end. Rudy just turned to Andy and says, that's soon to be you. No, you're right, it's you, you're right. It says, but you are not in the flesh, Planet Shakers, but in the Spirit. For if indeed the Spirit of God dwells within you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus Christ from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. So, amazing point. It says at the beginning of this, for you are in Christ Jesus. Another version says, you belong to Jesus. That word belong means to take into one's arms or embrace. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, but to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave them right to become children of God. You see, the rightness that you're made right with God, or the righteousness from Christ, or you and I being made right with God, comes from belief and acceptance. Believing that Jesus died and rose again and accepting him into your life, inviting him into your life. And the Bible says, to as many as received him, he gave them to be the right to be the children of God. Now, I looked up the word right, and listen to what the word right means. Delegated influence, authority, jurisdiction, liberty, power and strength. That word jurisdiction comes from the word where we have jury. And a jury has an authority to make a decision whether guilty or not guilty, whether they go free or they go in prison. And God says, I've given you the right, the jurisdiction to be children of God. I don't know about you, that's pretty exciting. It means to have power and strength. You know, my dad, he was a famous preacher. And then he became a politician. He started a party in his 60s. And when I was younger, I was like 12, 14, I can't remember the exact age, we're having these big meetings in the entertainment center in Adelaide. And you had to have the security from the entertainment center venue there. And you had the stage so everyone could look at the stage, but backstage you couldn't get to unless you had the right or authority or the right pass. And at backstage there were green rooms and there were areas there. And I remember one time I wanted to see my dad who was out the back. I think he was with Benny Hinn at the time. And I wanted to go see him. And so I went to go backstage and this big security guy, big guy, you know, and he says, hey, you can't go back here. I said, yes, I can. He said, no, you can't. You don't have the right to go back here. I said, no, I do have the right to go back here. I was a little smart aleck as a kid. He goes, who gives you the right to go back here? I said, my dad. He said, well, who's your dad? I said, well, my dad is the boss of this event. In fact, he's paying your wage right now. And he wouldn't let me through. So I got somebody to go get my dad. And my dad came and he said, it's okay. I'm in charge of this event. He can come through. So I, as a son, had the right to go through the security to get to the back rooms that no one else could have got back to. No other 12-year-old could have walked in there. Why? Because I was the son of God. And it's a picture. The enemy stands trying to stop our access to our Father. And he stands there and says, what right do you have? You sinned this week. You thought that this week. You messed up. You've got that addiction. You've got this problem. You've got this situation. What right do you have? And you say, well, it's not the right that I did. It's not my works that got me there. It's not the things that I've done. But my right comes in my Father who sent his Son. And so could you move out of the way, please? Could you move? I got to access grace. I got to access power. I got to access freedom. I have the right because I belong, because I'm in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1:5 says, God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Christ Jesus. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. See, God doesn't look at your doings, he looks at your beings. He doesn't look at your messes, he looks at your messages. See, God, doesn't matter what you do, he still has pleasure in you. Or he might see stuff that you do that would hurt you and he'll want to fix that up and get you in the right place. But he never looks at you with displeasure. He might look at some of your actions with displeasure, but never you. I have a 19-year-old son. I won't tell this in the next service because he'll be here. So do it. Someone said, do it. Who said, do it? Tim. Yeah, but you don't have your children. Stop telling our lies in front of all the people. That's so he's not here, so I can. Online, don't record this, all right? Here we go. Just kidding. This morning, I live in an apartment block that you need fobs. You know what a fob is? Right? And you need it to get into... In my apartment, there's a car park. You need a fob to get in. My son's fob wasn't working. So while I was asleep at 6 a.m. because he's playing drums at another campus, he went to my key ring and he stole my fob. Now, needless to say, when I was coming to church this morning and I went, because I've got two fobs, one for the church and one for here, and I went to access the doorway, I couldn't get through because my son had stolen my fob. Right then, I would say his actions didn't give me great pleasure. But it didn't stop my pleasure of him being my son. See, we think because what we do makes us God unhappy with us. No, he makes us unhappy with our actions, never us. God always finds pleasure in you, because he looks at you and he says, hey, even my son, I see him up here drumming, and I see him with his blonde hair and he's flicking around, and I go, I used to have hair like that. Look at him, awesome. He's taller than me. I love that. I love that he's taller than me. He can't beat me at sport, but he's taller than me. I love that. I have pleasure. I see my children and I just have pleasure in them. How much more do you have, God have pleasure in you? It's not what you do that gives him pleasure, because he looks at his son who made you right. It's who you are that gives him pleasure. Jesus has made a way so you and I can have intimacy with God. Into me, I see. See, Jesus made us free, the Bible says, and fulfilled the law. So we don't have to walk in bondage. It's a choice of our thinking. Am I free or not free? Yes, I'm free. I'm positionally free. Oh, I don't feel free. Well, it's not about how I feel, because I live by faith and I believe that Jesus has made me free. Oh, I might have situations that are trying to bound me up and bind me up, but here's the deal. I'm free. You might buy my outsides, but you'll never buy my insides, because freedom isn't about your external. Freedom is about your internal. It's not about your situation. It's about your position. Bible says, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 6, that you and I are seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. Do you think Paul and Silas in jail were situationally seated? They were bound in chains, but inside they weren't bound. And if you live in the position, the condition will bow to the position after a period of time. But it's what you agree with. I'm in Christ Jesus. He set me free. Oh, I might have some struggles, but he set me free. I might have to deal with some fleshly stuff, but I'm living in the Spirit. He set me free. Stop focusing on the flesh.
I hope you're enjoying the sermon. I trust that it's touching your life, empowering you, and you're getting something that will make you stronger, greater, because you are powerful.
It says this, carnal people think about carnal things. Fleshly people think about fleshly things. Where spirit people have kingdom thinking and spirit thinking. You know, there's a scripture that says, oh, magnify the Lord. Now, I'm getting a little older. I'm still cool, but I'm getting a little older. And I went to the OPSM, which is optometrist, to check out my eyes. I used to just brag about how I had 20/20. I'd eat lots of carrots as a kid, because that makes you have good eyesight. Bugs Bunny convinced me that I could see. I went to the football and I saw these umpires running around with OPSM on the back of their shirts, and I thought, they're all blind. I need to go to OPSM. And so I went there and they did this eye test, and I can see really well at the back. I can see you all at the back. I can see you. No, you're good. This service don't text a lot. It's usually the 3:30 service where all the teenagers are. They're over that side normally, and they're like, mind you, there is one person back there that I can see texting, but I won't point them out at all. No one. So I got good, I can see that guy at the back with the moustache. No, I can't really. I just took it by faith. It's too dark back there. I can see David over there, and he's there in the PA box, and he's got, is it D on the top of your head? Is that, yes, good, I can see that. I can see Amos walking to the toilet trying to be, going to the back, yeah, giving a drink of water. I can see that stuff. But he said, Could you see the writing? And I'm like, yeah, because I have an iPhone that can make my letters about this big. It's not very private. People looking over my, what are they texting? And on you got to get a plus. And so you get there and you do and it takes up the whole page. And hi, how are you? And so there you are. And the good thing about iPads is you can enlarge, so, ooh, yeah, I can read that. It makes you live in false sense of security. So he checked my eyes and he goes, you can see really well back there, 20/20 back there, but here you have a little bit of problem. I'm like, yeah? He said, try this on. And he puts these glasses on and the words go, wha-bam. I'm like, they're anointed. Wow. Whew. Must have laid hands on them or something. And the words come out and I can see them. When I take it off and I look at it, it's like, oh, that looks dim. Because in the glasses, there's a magnifying. And what I magnify comes out. So to be spirit-minded is to think in the spirit and put on the magnifying glasses of the spirit and begin to magnify God. See, that's why worship is so important, because when we worship, we walk in here and we're like, yes, God's good. And then we worship and all of a sudden we magnify him and he becomes bigger than anything we're facing that we walked in with. And we get the word of God and we understand faith comes by hearing, and all of a sudden he becomes bigger and more powerful and more stronger than anything else. And so we magnify him. And if you magnify the flesh looks all powerful. It looks all magnificent. But if you magnify God, what you magnify is what you empower. And to be spirit-minded is to magnify him. See, carnal thinking, the Bible says, leads to death. But spiritual-minded is life and peace, the Bible says. I was in Singapore the other day, and I was meeting with a pastor. I had lunch with a pastor there who runs a great church in Singapore. And he was talking to me about, you know, he has about 5,000 people in attendance, and average age is 21. And he's been pastoring the church for 17 years. And he told me he's the eldest son in a Singapore family, in an Asian Singapore family. Now, if you understand that, eldest son is the person who takes over the father's business. His father has a business, which is a speaker company called Klipsch. It was like Bose or Beats, and it does earphones and headphones and home systems. And in Singapore, by the way, not many people have that many home systems or loud ones, because they all live in apartments, so headphones are really important. So he went to business school in California and got a degree, got a master's degree in business, came home, and in that period of going to California and coming home, he had an encounter with Jesus, and he felt God call him to preach and be a pastor, not a business person. So his dad comes home to his dad and says, hey, Dad, love you very much, honor you. He said, but God's called me not to be in your business, but he's called me to be a pastor. Now, if you understand the culture there, that's a big deal. See, what did he do? He had fear of what his father would say. He was in the flesh if he magnified that. But he magnified what God had said, so he started a church. Church started growing about 10 years ago. About 7 years ago, I think it was. His father's not well. His father comes to him and says, hey, would you take over the company? And he said, look, Dad, we've been there before. I'm called to preach. I'm not called to be the leader of this company. And he goes home and he says to his wife, he says, you know, my dad asked me to take over the company again. I've told him, when is he going to learn? And his wife turned to him and says, but have you asked God? 10 years before, he had asked God, and God had, or 17 years before, and he had said no. And he goes, well, he said no back there. And she said, well, is he saying no now? So they prayed, and God said yes. So he went back to his father, and he says, I'll take over the business. He said, good, we have an appointment with the bank manager. We've got to sort out some stuff. He doesn't know what stuff until he's in this meeting. He had prayed going to the meeting, and he's in this meeting, and he discovers that his father's business is $2 million in debt, and there's no money to pay, and they're looking at closing or making it bankrupt. So he's there, and they're talking, and the banker says to the father, he says, well, you've got no money. We're going to close you down. He said, what about if I give something? He said, well, how much can you give? And the father pulled out a figure out of the air. He didn't even realize what he said. He said, 100,000 I can get. He said, the banker says, if you can get 100,000, we will forgive you the rest, 1.9 million. My friend's sitting there and he's going, that sounds too good to be true. Until they got it in writing and it said, if you pay $100,000, there's a contract, we will forgive $1.9 million. Well, they found $100,000 and he took over the business. Still running his church. Now in Singapore, the number one selling earphone company 7 or 10 years later is Klipsch. It's bigger than Bose, it's bigger than Beats, and it's now going all through Asia and it's doing incredible things. And now he employs hundreds of people in his company, which are from his church, which help bring the kingdom to the place. It is amazing. But one season, the Spirit was saying, no. The next season, the Spirit was saying, yes. If he had said no in the second season, he would have had fleshly minded, because that's how it used to be. If he had said yes in the first season, it would have been fleshly minded because he was fearful. But because he got the mind of the Spirit, not only is there a church now, there is the number one earphone company in Singapore and beyond, and growing and growing and funding kingdom activities. Carnally minded people live in fleshly areas. Spiritually minded people release the kingdom and release peace and life. And listen to what the Bible says. You are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if the Spirit dwells in you. Because the Bible says the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Listen to me. If Jesus lives in you, you are powerful. If Jesus lives in you, you have authority. If Jesus lives in you, nothing can stop you. If Jesus lives in you, you can change the world. But it's getting your mind set on the things of God. When I was in school, now this was a stupid thing, but when I was in school, my brother's 4 years older than me. So when I was in school, and he was a year ahead of his year, so he was 5 years at school ahead of me. I was in year eight, which is the first year in high school in Adelaide. We went to this school, it was real rough, and you know, you had to steal a car to be cool. Very rough, unless you're good at sport. My brother was good at sport, and he was 6'1", and he was quite strong. And so in year 12, he was not a guy that people would mess with. He didn't get in fights, but he was the captain of the football team, and he was strong. And so I'm a year eight, and I'm thinking I'm pretty awesome because my brother's in the school, and he's a school captain. So I remember one day this year 11 was giving me cheek, and I was giving him cheek back because I was a little mouthy kid. And I was like, hey, and he goes, ugh. So I went up to him, and I don't recommend this. It's stupid. It was idiotic. Never do it, just so that's on tape, right? Never do it. He comes up, I go up to him, and he pushes me, so I whack him. He's going to kill me. So what do? I run to my brother, stand behind him and go, take him down, go on, big boy. And my brother says, you touch him, I'll get you. He says, all right, I won't get him, but tell him to leave me alone. See, I was powerful because I had my brother there. You have a Bible says Jesus is closer than a brother, and he's made you powerful. So no matter what the enemy might try to do to you, no matter what the enemy might try to say to you, no matter what he will throw at you, you are powerful. You are the head and not the tail. You're above and not beneath. You can do all things through Christ who gives you strength. You are powerful. There is nothing on this earth that can stop you, hinder you, limit you. Oh, come on, somebody. Jesus lives in you. The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. Would you praise him? Because you are powerful. Because he is your power. Oh, well, I don't know. I don't feel powerful. Stop thinking carnal. Start thinking spiritual. If you want to release a realm of heaven, you've got to think like heaven does. See, the Bible says spirit thinking and spirit living show sonship. How do we demonstrate God's life? It's through our thinking in releasing our sonship. So, God, you've made me powerful. God, you've given me the right. You've given me authority. You've given me access. So when the flesh says this, I have a choice to magnify the flesh, or as a son, I magnify you, Dad. And as a son, I come to you and I say, I put my arms around you and into me you see, and I look into you and I'm your son. Spirit thinking and living shows you sonship. And in this room right now, we're going to do two things. In a moment, those who have never been in Christ Jesus or walked away from Him, you have an opportunity to get right with Him. But those who are in Christ Jesus right now, what we're going to do is we're going to put on our spiritual glasses and we're going to magnify the Lord and we're going to let Him come alive in our view. And we're not going to magnify Him over our situation. We're just going to magnify Him, because when we magnify Him, we look at our situation and now we're looking as Father sees and we say, hey, nothing's impossible to those who believe. So what I view and what I put my focus on and my magnification on is what becomes bigger than what I face. When I was back in school, we did science and we'd got a magnifying glass. We look at a little ant and we go, wow, look at that. Look, that's spectacular. Look at all the details. Look at all, wow, how intricate. When it's down there, it's like, yeah, whatever. But when you get the magnifying glass, it's like, whoa. I didn't even know spiders had hairy legs until I had a magnifying glass. That's what you do with God. Oh, I didn't know you had that about you. I didn't know, wow, you are so amazing. You are so amazing. You're the hope of all hearts. You're the hope. I felt hopeless, but I put on my worship glasses and put on my view of you, and now you're the hope of all hearts. Oh, the doctor said that. Yeah, that's a natural thing. Oh, but your spirit says, by your stripes I am healed. Wow, I'm focusing on your healing power. Oh, I feel discouraged. Oh, you give me the garment of praise, so I praise you. Because I put my spirit mind into action.
Thanks so much for joining us today. My prayer is today you have encountered Jesus and that you'll walk in the fullness that He has made you. You're His children, His sons and daughters. God bless you. Have an amazing week.